Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I think there is a Second Amendment. I have a 20 gauge and a 10 gauge, a 20 and a 12 gauge shotgun. And all I've done is skeet shoot. My sons have them. My deceased son and my other son, they have.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
I would like to see Joe Biden fire a 10-gauge shotgun sometimes. I think old Scranton Joe, I think it'd put him on his butt these days, don't you? He doesn't know what he's got in his gun safe, but I do. And I'll bet you Cam Edwards does. He's our guest this morning, editor at BearingArms.com. And he also hosts 40 Acres and a Fool. You can download the podcast at his website. Cam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Poor old Joe. He doesn't know what he's got, except that you can lay your double-barrel shotgun out the window and fire two blasts to scare off any intruders.
Yeah, you know, the Second Amendment is not about owning shotguns for skeet shooting or even owning shotguns for self-defense, right? I mean, it is the right of the people to keep and bear arms, not 20-gauge shotguns.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Joe Biden's interpretation of the Second Amendment is that Americans will be allowed to possess whatever firearms he believes they should be allowed to possess. And that's not how the Constitution or the Bill of Rights works.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's unfortunate. We've got a whole group of people, eight of them now, running for the Democratic presidential nomination. And every single one of them is opposed to the Heller decision. And every single one of them would support a semi-automatic weapons ban like they tried to do in Virginia. So we just need to keep working every day, Cam, you and I, to make sure Americans know what's at stake in the coming election, regardless of who their nominee is.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. I mean, there's not even a Jim Webb type Democrat that's running right now. And no matter who wins, whether it's Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Michael Bloomberg, Amy Klobuchar, you're right. This is going to be the most anti-gun Democratic presidential candidate, actually the most anti-gun presidential candidate in American history. And you do have candidates that are talking about things like packing the Supreme Court in order to overturn the Heller decision, getting rid of the filibuster in the Senate so that gun control bills can pass with a bare 51-vote majority. And the type of gun control bills that they're talking about are against the sweeping gun bans, magazine bans, gun licensing at a federal level, a federal gun registration system. And Lord knows what else that would, you know, have the ultimate impact of turning our right into a privilege.
Well, it would. And the best example we can hold up is the state of Virginia, which, of course, turned blue back in the fall. And now they've been trying desperately every week to pass some new way to restrict your Second Amendment rights. What they haven't been able to do so far is pass the AR-15 ban, the semi-automatic weapon ban. They failed in a Senate committee yesterday. The House passed it, a Senate committee. Apparently four Democrats flipped over and decided they couldn't support something like that. So at least we've got a brief reprieve there.
A little bit of one. Governor Northam could still try to play some legislative games. He could reintroduce this language in another bill that is making progress. I don't know if he's actually going to do that. I think the message was pretty clear from Senate Democrats that they don't have the appetite or interest in voting for this gun, magazine, and suppressor ban. I mean, this was a really big bill. It banned a lot of things. And you're right. There were three Democrats who had expressed their reservations on the Senate Judiciary Committee before that vote. And then a fourth one actually ended up joining them, which was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, I think that you're right. I mean, the Democrats took control of the legislature in Virginia in November, but they did so with only about 6,000 votes statewide. If 6,000 votes had flipped, Republicans would still be in control. So this was not some sweeping mandate, although they're acting like it. And unfortunately, you know, they have passed a number of bad bills. I think they are going to become bad laws. But this was the centerpiece of Governor Northam's campaign, and it went down to defeat in committee yesterday. And I think that Virginia gun owners have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, that's true. Cam, what was their plan there? Let's assume they had passed this thing. They had limited magazines to, it had to be under, I believe, what, 12 rounds or something like that? Were they Were they planning to raise taxes to compensate now legal gun owners who have thousands of dollars in weapons that have simply been outlawed?
Absolutely not. No, this was, you know, the plan, had this gone forward, was that as of January 1st, 2021, it would simply be illegal for you to possess these magazines. It would have been a misdemeanor. It would have been a felony for you to transport these magazines, let's say take them to the range to go shooting. And, you know, as far as enforcement goes, it was probably going to be, you know, pretty ad hoc. If they caught you with a magazine, then they'd arrest you. But keep in mind, Mark, you know, 91 of the state's 95 counties have declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuaries. County sheriffs have said in many of these places that they don't have any interest in enforcing unconstitutional gun control law. So I think enforcement of this would have been a real challenge and will be a real challenge going forward if they ever do manage to get something like this in the books.
Yeah, it's a great point. Cam Edwards, my guest from BearingArms.com. Cam, in Florida this week, there was a great example of red flag laws and the danger that they pose. In a case of mistaken identity, the state tried to go in and take away the weapons of somebody who simply happened to have the same name as the felon they were looking for. When he called and said, "You've got the wrong guy," they're like, "Well, maybe, but come on down to the courthouse and bring your guns with you because you're going to have to give them up." This guy's a veteran. I mean, he's never broken a law in his life. This is a great example of why we got to really keep an eye on these red flag laws as they proliferate around the country.
Yeah, and they're being used a lot in Florida. I think I saw something like 3,500 times since the law has gone into effect have there been, you know, petitions for one of these extreme risk protection orders. And as you talk about, you know, there is danger not only with the government bureaucracy screwing things up and not getting the right person, but we've seen a case out of Colorado recently where a woman basically is facing perjury charges because she tried to claim that a police officer should have been red flagged and used false information on that application. You know, has a sort of a personal vendetta against this officer because he was one of the guys who shot and killed her son in a suicide by cop attempt a few years ago. You know, this woman, I think, needs some mental health help. But instead, she's going to be facing a court date because of this perjury charge that she's now facing. But it does show that, you know, these things are ripe for abuse. And frankly, there's very little evidence to show that these things actually work to reduce suicide, to make anybody safer. And in states like Connecticut or Indiana that have had these laws on the books for the longest period of time, gun-related suicides have declined. But the overall suicide rate has actually gone up, Mark. And you know, the point should be not to make sure that somebody kills themselves in another way, but to make sure that that person in crisis doesn't kill themselves at all.
Yeah.
And these red flag laws, unfortunately, do nothing for the mental health of somebody who's genuinely in crisis. Instead, it simply takes any legally owned guns away and then leaves them on their own.
Yeah, that's a great point. Cam, thanks so much for your time this morning. Where can people read more of your thoughts on these issues?
Get more at 971talk.com.